Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to Faith Together Podcast. Lindsay here. And before we get started today, we wanted to share some exciting news. We, as promised, had a drawing for a special prize for a family to enjoy a night out at Locavore Farms here in Kankakee County. And we're thrilled to share that our grand prize winner is the Seals family. Kristen and John Seals and their family will be enjoying a family feast on the farm sometime this summer. So Seals family, we hope you have a fantastic time. And we just want to give a big thank you to all of you who filled out our survey and entered into the drawing. And now we hope you to enjoy today's episode. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back to Faith Together Podcast. We are so thrilled to have you joining us today. And I'm Lindsay, and I am joined here with my other host, Leon. Hi, Leon.
Hello, Lindsay.
It's great to be together today. This is a special day today because we are starting a new series.
Yes, I'm excited about this one.
Yes, this is going to be a fantastic series. This series beginning today is called Screen Time Safety. Screen Time Safety. And we know from talking with all of you as listeners that screen time is a very important topic to you as families in your everyday lives.
That may seem like an odd phrase. Should we define what screen time is?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, that sounds like a weird thing. But
Yeah.
So screen time is Anytime we find ourselves in front of a screen, whether that is television, video games, phone, iPad, laptop, computer, any of those kinds of things where digital screens are involved.
That's right. And we wanted to use the term safety with screen times because we want to have safe physical habits with screen time, which is a little bit of what we're going to talk about today, the physical implications on our brains from lots of screen time. However, we know, Leon, that safety can mean a lot more things than just our physical safety.
That's right. And we also want to be careful about how we present what we're talking about today, because we really don't want to be a downer on technology. But there are a lot of things that we have become aware of from research that's been done that maybe most of us aren't aware of. And so I kind of been thinking about it like this, Lindsay. It's kind of like when it comes to technology and our kids, it's almost like we, without being aware of it, have been digging a little bit of a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in the hole and we're not really sure how to get out of the hole. And while some of the things with technology tend to be negative, we don't want to make this about rejecting technology or somehow technology is this terrible, awful thing.
Right, right. We're not coming on to say, you know, throw away your phones and never get on a,
right,
you know, TV again. That's not what we're saying at all. We want to just offer tools, not shame, to everyone who's listening today that every family needs to decide based on your family, based on all of the details of screen time and what that looks like for you, what works for you as far as boundaries and what is best for your family.
Right. So, and knowledge is everything, right?
Knowledge is power.
That's right. So our responsibility here, I think, on the podcast is to make parents aware mm-hmm. of things that they may not be aware of,
yes,
so that then, based on that information, they can make decisions for their families.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So as we dive into this topic, screen time and the brain, today, we want to talk a little bit about some of the research we have done and some of the tools we'll be sharing with you in this entire series. So one of those tools is a book I came across a few years ago, just after COVID, Leon. You know, you're trying to figure out ministry, trying to figure out how to reach families, and we're all on screens constantly.
Oh my goodness. During COVID, that's just what our lives were. Right.
Right. And so I was getting all this feedback from the families that I was serving that, you know, we need something that gets us off of a screen together. What can we do? How can I come alongside my kids to help them take some time away from screens? Because it was such a part of their everyday lives. And I started doing some research and found this book called Screen Kids. And Screen Kids is a book that was written by Gary Chapman and Arlene Pelicane. And they do a great job of talking about how technology is used in a child's life and all sorts of examples of that. But they really focus on five relational skills every child needs in a tech-driven world. And if you know, many of you may recognize one of those authors' names, Gary Chapman. Mm-hmm. He was the founder of the five love languages. So if you have ever done any testing in the five love languages, you know, words of affirmation, physical touch, they have acts of service. There's five different ones. I can't think of the other two off the top of my head, but it's a wonderful tool to learn how you can show and give love to others in your life. And so they, Gary Chapman and Arlene Pelicane, took that concept and brought it kind of to this world of technology. And so ultimately, we're going to get to the place of sharing some relational skills that kids need when they're surrounded by technology so much. But we wanted to just share that a lot of our discussion and different things we're going to be talking through come from the Screen Kids book. And it's a great resource we'll have on our website for you. We'll also be sharing, there's another edition of the book just for grandparents as well to help grandparents navigating technology with their kids. And so thrilled to share that all of those things will be on our website, along with we will have Arlene Pelicane, one of the authors, on the podcast.
Right. In about
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Now, Lindsay, one of the things I really like about the book is two things, actually. One is that it is not their opinion. It is based on statistics. It's based on research that's been done, surveys that have been done of thousands of people. And, you know, technology being what it is, there's not really been a lot of study, kind of long-term study, of the impact that it has, particularly on our kids.
True.
And so this work includes a lot of the research for kind of a more what we would call longitudinal study.
Yes.
Over the long haul. The other thing I like about the book is it's very easy to read.
It is.
So while it has statistics and it has research in here, it really is an easy read. So they did an excellent job of taking kind of a scholarly approach to a topic and then presenting it in a very usable form.
Yeah, and that's what we want to be about here at Faith Together. We want to be able to share with you clear and accurate research, but in a way that you can apply it to your everyday lives.
So do we want to talk about a little bit about the special thing we're doing with Arlene at this point? Okay, why don't you share with us what we're doing with her?
Yes, so just as we mentioned, Arlene will be joining us on the podcast here in 3 weeks to talk to us a little bit more about the book and give us some tips. And then we are so excited to share that we will be offering a free webinar through the Center for Faith and Family for any parents to join us. You just sign up on our website. And this webinar is going to be on Thursday, May 2nd at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. And it is going to feature Arlene Pelicane. So not only is she going to join us on the podcast for about a half an hour, but she is going to interact with us for another hour on a free webinar to share these five relational skills every child needs in a tech-driven world.
Wow. You know, if I'm a parent of children, I want to make sure I don't miss that, because this technology screen time topic is such an important thing for our children and making decisions as a family and how we're going to deal with it.
Yeah. And I think she does a great job of just sharing those practical ways that you can just include good boundaries and good life skills to help you and your family navigate all of this. So we're looking forward to Thursday, May 2nd. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. So when it comes to screen time, there's some bad news and there's some good news, right?
Yes, for sure.
So as we said earlier, we don't want to just dog technology and say, throw it out. Don't pay attention to it. It's harmful. There are some concerns that we're going to address, but there's also some wonderful things about it and some things that we can do that make it a positive experience for our kids.
That's right.
So before we jump into those, maybe we should talk about why the topic of screens is such an important one. And they help us a little bit in the book with in their introduction. They talk about a few things that I'd like to just share. So, and some of this was enlightening to me. I wasn't aware of this. So the first of these is that on screens, particularly videos, YouTube, and video games, those kinds of things, there are no stopping cues. Okay, so...
That wasn't always the case.
No, that's correct. So they gave the example in the book of when you and I were growing up and we were watching television, there would not only be after a half an hour, the end of the show, but there would be a commercial in the middle of the show, or maybe two commercials in the middle of the show. And then at the end of the show, we had to make a decision. Either we stay on the television and watch the next show, which takes a little bit of time because you got to go through the commercials, or we change the channel to find another show, or we turn it off.
Right.
All right. So in technology today, that doesn't exist. So think about when you watch Netflix or Paramount or whatever.
YouTube.
There's an automatic, as soon as it's over, the next one starts. Right? You don't even have to press a start button. It just goes right into the next show, the next video, the next whatever.
Right. And many times it may not even be that same show. It may not even be that same program. It's just something like it. So that's why, you know, YouTube's especially can be super dangerous because you can be kids can be watching something and then it ends and it doesn't go on to that same show. It goes to something else that you have no idea what it is.
And, you know, in the past we would have we don't like the next show, so let's move on and do something else. Instead, now it just continues to engage us, right? And sucks us in a little bit. Okay, so there's no stopping cues. That's one of the concerns.
Right.
Another concern is that screens provide unpredictable rewards. It took me a little bit to understand this. Here's how I understand it. Video games start with a simple reward after some simple maneuvering into the game, especially if it's new to you. So you're learning the game, you get these little rewards, a beeping of the ding, you know, that goes on.
The character, whatever they're accomplishing.
Or, you know, a flash or something that acknowledges that you've accomplished something. And the further you go in video games in particular, the longer between those experiences. And so it keeps you engaged because your brain, we're talking about the brain here today, the brain desires those rewards, even though we may not consciously be aware of that. And what I found is that there's, it's a kind of a dopamine issue, right? So the pleasure center of our brain is encouraged to keep going. Because we're waiting for that pleasure, satisfaction, motivation to keep keep going.
The reward, and you don't even realize that that's what you're waiting for.
So screens provide unpredictable rewards. And then the third one is that screens tap in to the power of goals. So so I'm doing, you know, I spend time in Tanzania, right? And they speak Swahili in Tanzania. So I'm on my Duolingo right now working on my Swahili. I've not been a good student of Swahili in the past, so I'm working harder this time. And one of the things that I've noticed is it keeps giving me encouragement by telling me I've got a streak going. So I'm now like at 35 days. Where at on every day for 35 days, at least I've done one lesson on Duolingo, and it takes, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to do one lesson. So, but it's that affirmation that you can keep the streak going. Right. And so this is one of those things that adds to this reason for concern on this topic. Now, the driving question that they ask in the book, which I think is very, very good, is this. Is screen time bringing your family closer together, or is it driving them further apart? And I think that's a maybe a good balancing question for us to consider, does our being on our screens bring us closer together as a family, or does it tend to separate us and drive us apart? And then my final thought on this before we jump into some bad news and good news. There was an interview done with Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know Steve Jobs. He's the creator of Apple, right?
Yeah.
And boy, I have lots of stories about that because Apple started right around where I grew up.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. I saw kind of the little signs going up as new buildings were being put up. And I remember as a teenager thinking, boy, this poor little company's never going to make it. Because at that point, IBM dominated the world of technology.
Wow.
That's another story. And so Steve Jobs was asked after the iPad came out and started getting popular, he was asked how his kids mm-hmm. enjoyed their iPads. And this was his response. They haven't used it. We limit how much technology our kids use at home.
Wow.
So this is the creator of technology in many ways, right?
Yeah.
At least the way we understand it today. And he protected his children from his own creation.
That's right. Yeah.
Makes you ponder a bit.
It does. It does. So is screen time bringing your family closer together, or is it driving you further apart? It's a good place to start in reflection. And as you were sharing, Leon, there is good news and bad news about technology and about screen time. And so I'm one, Leon, I know you probably won't be surprised with this, but just I want to get the bad news out of the way so we can end on a positive note.
Yeah.
You know, whenever someone says to me, okay, I've got good news and bad news, I will always say, give me the bad news first, because I want to get that out of the way so that we can focus on the good things. So that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah. And as our listeners, we want you to hang on with us.
Yes.
It's not going to all be bad news. There's some good stuff out there that we want to share with you, but we need to understand some of the issues
that
we're trying to address.
Absolutely. And in this series of screen time safety, this episode, we're going to start focusing on just the brain, the effects of screen time on the brain. And
right.
then next week, we're going to bring in relationships, the effect of screen time and relationships. So today, the bad news that we've found through the research on the brain with screen time is a premature thinning of the cortex in our brains.
Okay, that sounds a little technical.
It is technical. So let's talk about what the cortex is. So the cortex in our brain, it is the outer layer of our brain. So I like to think of the cortex as this. It's like the front door of the house, right? It's how everything gets inside our brains is the cortex. And typically, the cortex in our brains, they start thinning as we age. And so just regular, everyday five senses types of activities that we would process, things like play and things like I would say memory, any kind of storytelling, all those kind of just sensory, anything you could imagine as you're sharing with one another would filter through the cortex first. And as we get older, that cortex just begins to thin. Well, what they're finding out is that when your child is on screens, it causes, in brain scans they've seen, that kids with lots of screen time had a premature thinning of the cortex.
Mm, that sounds serious.
Yeah. And so one of the points that is made in the book says that when your child is on screens, they are not exercising their five senses in the real world. And so that part of the brain starts to decline. So the more I've studied this a bit, Leon, is that the cortex, because I like a good visual, as I said, is like the front door of the brain. It may be locked, like you can't access the brain or process anything unless you have some sensory experiences, right? And you're truly living life and you're acting out all five senses with people, seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, all those things together is the key to unlock that door to start healthy brain processing. And so when your child is just sitting on a screen and not interacting with others, not touching anything but a controller and just looking at one thing instead of looking at many things, and not using all of those five senses, it keeps that brain activity that they so desperately need locked, because they aren't able to have the sensory input that's needed. And so I thought that was a really interesting point in the book, as they did the different research on the brain scans. And then the other thing that was shared in the brain area of research is that screen time actually is very much like a drug. And they say that, in fact, it's like a stimulant, not unlike caffeine, nicotine, or even cocaine. It raises arousal levels, the dopamine we were talking about mm-hmm. earlier, and it actually changes the brain chemistry. So the brain begins to rely on it in unhealthy ways, as it might with a drug or a stimulant. And so it's very concerning when you hear both of these facts.
Right. Yeah. And one of the phrases that they use in reference to that are permanent pacifiers.
Yes.
That it's kind of this addictive activity. And that's a loose use of the word activity, because it's not very active.
Right.
But an activity and they have found that, as you mentioned, Lindsay, that parts of the brain light up when they are studying these kids as they're on technology, especially those who've been on it for a significant amount of time on
right.
a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it's the part of the brain that lights up is no different than what the brain lights up when they take when people take an opioid or even cannabis.
Wow.
And it's like, whoa, none of our parents that are listening to us would say, oh, that's an okay thing. And yet we've just not known, right?
Mm-hmm.
That this is the way. The other thing that they have found is it attacks their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, you know, kids, most of children in particular, need between 9 and 11 hours of sleep for their brains to work well and their bodies to function well. That technology, in particular technology before bedtime, really disrupts the sleep patterns of children and makes a big, big difference. And I found this fascinating. They said that the CEO of Netflix said that their biggest competitor is sleep.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting,
too. In other words, they set up Netflix in such a way that it encourages you to continue watching. So, Lindsay, you know I teach college students
mm-hmm.
at Olivet, and I'm really honored to be able to do that. Just love what I get to do, helping be a part of the lives of college students. You may remember from your college years, there's not a lot of sleep that takes place.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's more the case now than it's ever been before with technology,
mm-hmm.
with Netflix, with screens. I do hate to admit this. I was going to say almost hate to admit it, but I really hate to admit it, honestly. There are times where I'll get on Facebook and just kind of start scrolling and then look at the clock and realize half an hour's gone by.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what in the world
yeah.
have I been doing?
I know.
Nothing productive.
Right.
And I just lost a half hour of my life I'm never going to get back.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And
we've all been there, Leon.
Yeah. But that's, you know, it's impacting, having an impact on sleep in our kids' lives. So those are some of the negative things
right.
that are out there
right,
that we should just be aware of.
Absolutely. Because when we're not getting the healthy inputs for our brains, then our brains only know these negative inputs. And so then we begin reacting to those instead of the healthy things. And so let's focus on those good,
yeah,
healthy things.
Yeah, there is some good news in the midst of all this, right?
What can we do? What can unlock our brains with the healthy habits that we need? The good news.
Yeah. So let's start with just some downtime.
Yes.
Okay. So we exercise our body, our muscles, and any person who is really into fitness will tell you, you just can't go day after day after day on the same muscles. You have to give the muscles an opportunity to rest
right.
after you have challenged them through whatever activity that you're doing to build those muscles. And the same is true for our brain. Our brain is a muscle.
That's right.
I don't know if our medical profession would use that language, but basically it's a muscle and it needs rest.
It does.
And so when all we are doing is stimulating it constantly with screens, that becomes an issue. So if we create opportunities for rest from technology, so putting some limits maybe on how much is being used and when it's being used, particularly before bedtime. And so when your child says, after you've taken their iPad away from them, "I'm bored," that's actually a good thing.
Yes.
Because it means their brain's getting a little bit of rest and they should go do something else.
Absolutely. Another way to increase good chemicals, good activity in our brain to battle against the dopamine. Instead, we want the chemical, I believe, is called serotonin to our brain.
I think that's correct.
Okay. We're learning lots of new
things. That's right. We are.
In this series. But another way to do that, good news, is physical exercise. You talked a little bit about this, Leon, but getting your kids outside, moving their muscles, enjoying doing activities that, yeah, might feel like a dread at first, but once they get going, that is actually a stress reliever, and they're not relieving any stress just sitting and staring at a screen. It's actually causing more stress to their minds and an overstimulation, as you're saying, of
right.
information. Whereas when we go and exercise, I know I'm not one who loves exercise, but I know I need to do it because it makes me feel better afterwards. And that's something that we're able to release the stress. We're able to take care of our bodies, and that's really, really good for our brains.
Yeah. All right. The next on our, so that's downtime and then physical exercise. The next
yep.
on our list is healthy foods. And when you and I were sitting down and talking about this, I laughed
you did.
At this one because I said to you, my mom will be thrilled that I'm talking about healthy foods.
Uh-huh.
So mom, here it is. So we need to eat healthy.
That's right.
our brain needs to be fed. And I didn't know this, but about 20% of the calories that our body takes in go to our brain.
Wow.
In giving it its energy and the need and what it needs to do its job.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
And, I wasn't either.
So eating well is one of the ways that we can help the negative impacts maybe
mm-hmm.
of the screen time that our kids have. So having some downtime, setting things aside for a little bit, exercising, activities, eating well, and
can I add one more thing
yeah.
to healthy foods?
Oh, sure.
I have found, Leon, on when I've worked with kids, whether it was in the classroom when I was a teacher or now as a pastor on Sunday mornings, when kids are having a really hard day, and maybe just we're not able to find a connection with them. They're just kind of shut down. Could have been a hard morning, hard day. Don't know what it is. I have found that a healthy snack goes a long way. So I've been known to kind of keep like a little stash of healthy snacks wherever we are. And if we're having a tough time, you know, we pull out our little bin of healthy snacks and say, why don't you take a minute and enjoy a snack? And it might be a granola bar, it might be, you know, the organic fruit snack, something like that. And within a couple minutes, it can turn things around.
Yeah.
So
wow, that's good.
The power of a snack,
yeah.
I think, is important to remember for not only kids, but adults too. Okay, next good news thought here is unstructured play. Now, we've talked a lot about play on the podcast.
We have.
We actually have a whole episode on play in one of our previous series on healthy parenting. But the book Screen Kids brings it up again, and they say, have your kids negotiate the rules and learn to play with others without any adult direction. It can be rough and tumble play or setting up a schoolhouse together. These activities build new circuits in the prefrontal cortex to help navigate complex social interactions.
Yeah, so they're learning how to be social.
They are.
And you know, we didn't talk about it specifically as a negative, but one of the negative parts of kids that are just immersed in screens is that they have poor social skills. I think we'll talk about that next week when we talk about relationships,
yep.
Right?
Yep, we'll cover that. And then when we have our webinar here very soon, we'll talk more about those relational skills that we can build into our kids even more specifically.
That's good.
Yeah, play is so important. And that cortex, the outer lining of our brains, play actually is one of the things that can cross that barrier and provide new pathways, which is so healthy and so good.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we've talked about four really positive things or things that we can do to increase the serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of those is sleep. Now, we mentioned sleep in the negative category. Now, we're going to mention sleep in the positive category. Okay, so sleep, we know we need about 9 to 11 hours, kids do. Their bodies are going through so many changes as they grow. They just need that extra, but they need a deep sleep. And one of the things that they have said is that screens create, because of the white and the blue colors that are associated with screens, they create a daytime environment, mm-hmm. even in a nighttime situation.
Yes, this is why blue light glasses are so popular. Have you heard of the blue light glasses?
I don't think I have.
So you can get them on Amazon or wherever, and people wear them at night when they're on their phones so that the blue light from their phones doesn't affect their sleep. Now, they're saying that that may not be a solution that is going to last for a long, you know, like when you're looking for the long haul, but it seems to be one of these shortcuts that...
Wow, that sounds like...
Yeah.
Like someone who's making some money off of something that may not be so great.
Right.
Or may not work so well.
Well, you talk about a Band-Aid, right?
Right.
To a problem.
Yeah.
Like, here, let's have blue... Not if you use blue light glasses, that's fine. I've used them before. You know, I'm not... I don't have to wear glasses, so glasses just bother me. Mm-hmm. So I haven't used them much. I just tried a friend's pair. But yeah, it is a real thing that those light rays are not good for us at all.
Wow, you learn something new every day. I didn't know about blue light glasses.
Yeah.
But I do know that we're told that one of the strange things that's happening is that we have so much technology in our bedrooms that the light that they project, like when they're charging and things like that, are disrupting sleep patterns.
Hmm.
And so so the encouragement here for our kids is to have a dark room. Now, they may need a night light, but that's
sure.
different than the blue-white lights that we're talking about that are from screens.
Right. And doing everything we can to charge devices outside of the bedrooms.
Yeah. In fact, I think, and I feel like I keep wanting to jump into next week's episode.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about... making sure that the bedroom is a place where screens don't take place,
mm-hmm.
To kind of protect that space.
Yes,
from screens.
Absolutely.
Because of course, when a child is on a screen in their bedroom, they're isolated from any adults generally, and we don't always have control over what's on those screens.
Yes, exactly. So, listeners, we hope that today you have learned something new, just as we have. And that you can take away one thing to focus on from this episode. We wanted to present this information in a way that was encouraging and not discouraging. So we hope that you can focus in on one thing that you might want to share with a spouse at home, with a friend, with your kids, talk about it. And then come back and join us next week, because we're going to be talking about screen time and relationships and some real practical ways to start setting boundaries around.
Yeah, I'm
our
looking
screens.
Forward to that. I mean, we've kind of jumped into it a little bit already, but looking forward to some real practical tips of things that we can do at home that will help us keep our kids safe.
Yes.
When it comes to technology.
Yes. And let's just remember too, Leon, I'm reminded just as we're talking through some of this today, like I'm convicted myself on some of my screen habits, you know? And so even as adults, as we care for the kids around us, you know, we can't give what we don't have, and we can't show them what we won't model ourselves. So even maybe your step today is kind of what I'm thinking of, taking a new healthy habit with your own screens, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, we believe strongly in modeling, right?
Right.
And it's one thing to tell our kids, watch what I do. I'm putting my screen away for a while before we, you know, I go to bed, as opposed to just saying, you can't, but I can,
right,
to those things. So
yeah,
I think those are helpful. That's helpful advice that you've given us there.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. And just remember, we have a really exciting webinar coming up with author of Screen Kids, Arlene Pelicane, that we'd love for you to join us. It's free, and all the information's on our website.
Yeah. In fact, they will need to actually sign up on the website, right?
Yes.
So that they can get access to the
link for the webinar.
The link for the webinar.
That's right. Don't say that three times fast. That's a tongue twister.
All right. So once again, thank you for joining us today. We hope that there were some things that we've shared that were helpful to you, that you're encouraged, not discouraged, and that you have the power now to make decisions that will be helpful to your family. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and give you peace. You've been listening to the Faith Together podcast from the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. Sign up for additional resources at centerff.com. When building faith, we are better together.